Texaco Time with Fred Allen. Texaco dealers from coast to coast present the Texaco Star Theater, starring Fred Allen, with Fred's guest, George Raft, Man About Hollywood, Portland Hoffa, Falstaff Openshaw, the Texaco Workshop players, Hilo Jack and the Dame, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. Yours truly, Jimmy Wallington, is here to tell you, for Texaco dealers, that there's lots of life in your old car yet, if it's of average age and you give it regular Texaco lubrication and maintenance. Don't think just because your car's done 30 or 40,000 miles, it won't last the war out. Stop wear out with regular Texaco care, and you'll find that life begins at 40,000. Last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, a certain comedian dreamed he was on Truth or Consequences. Well, when he woke up, he was a mess. The comedian is back again tonight. Here he is. He's still awake and still a mess. Fred Allen.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, Jimmy, you're not kidding about that Truth or Consequences program. Ralph Edwards broke four eggs in my hair, put molasses in my shoes, ducked my head in whipped cream, and squirted seltzer water all over me.
Yes, I know. You look like a fugitive from the mystery ship.
When he got through, huh? I have never... Services for that line will be held tomorrow morning. I look like a fugitive from the mystery, Chef, eh?
Yes.
Well, I tell you frankly, Jimmy, I was so covered with food, when I started to walk home, two mice followed me up Broadway.
Well, did the whipped cream, the eggs, and the molasses bother you?
Well, I went to sleep, Jimmy. The room was warm, and when I woke up, I couldn't move. I was a big cake with arms in it.
You were baked inside of a cake?
Now I know how a raisin feels, Jimmy. You know, when Truth or Consequences is over, the studio looks as though a mixmaster exploded in there. If I ever have another...
Mr.
Well, Portland, please, yes. You never can tell when you're going to meet a person with some straight lines, can you? Well, Portland, what's new... What's new tonight?
Did you read about that 12-year-old boy who's going to Yale?
12 years old? I hope he doesn't go out for football. You know, it would be terrible to see a Yale man running down the field carrying the ball in one hand and a lollipop in the other.
Can a little boy like that win his letter?
Oh, he's too short for Yale. The end of his Y would be dragging. He'd do better at Michigan or Ohio, where he could turn the O around and get in it, you know. But tell me, were you smart when you were 12 years old?
At high school, the class voted me most likely to.
Oh, really? Most likely to what?
Well, they didn't say.
Well, you certainly haven't let them down. I will say that. Would you say that you were smart now?
Mama doesn't think so.
Well, why not?
Mama says I'll never be Miss Rheingold of 1944.
Well, why can't you be Miss Rheingold?
Mama says I haven't got enough head.
Well, you don't, That's the same man who wrote that line for Wallington. He's... got another line in here when I wasn't looking. Well, you don't need much head to cover your brain, Portland. I think Joel Kupperman's tooth would about do it. And speaking of heads, I'm about to head for Allen's Alley.
Oh, have you picked out a question?
I certainly have. You know, next Wednesday is March 15th, Income Tax Day. And this year, the taxpayer is confronted with the most complicated tax form yet devised by the Bureau of Internal Revenue. And so our question tonight is, how are you doing with your income tax?
Shall we start?
As one Begin said to the other Begin, let's begin.
Hello?
There's a... Man just fell off the Fitch bandwagon. Well, Portland, at long last, a stranger just passed in the alley here. At long last, here we are back in Allen's Alley. Now, let's see if Senator Bloat is in.
Yes?
Senator Bloat, what is your reaction to the new income tax return?
It's too complicated.
Complicated, eh? Can you simplify it, Senator?
If my bill, the Bloat bill, goes through,
yes,
the next income tax blank will ask the taxpayer only three questions.
And those three questions are?
How much money did you make last year?
Yes.
How much have you got left?
Yes.
How fast can you get it out of your pocket?
Thank you. I don't think this senator will get in the next election, something tells me. Now, let's try next door here.
Well, what is it?
Mrs. Prawn, did you have any trouble with the new income tax return?
My husband's nearsighted.
His eyes are bad?
He mistook the laundry list for his income tax blank.
Really?
He sent the laundry list to the income tax office.
Yes?
He sent his income tax blank out with the laundry.
Gosh, what a mixer.
Laundry, income tax, what's the difference?
You mean?
Either way, he loses his shirt.
Well, March 15th, Mrs. Prawn won't know her husband from Adam. Well, something may turn up next door here. Let's see. No. Ah, Mr. Nussbaum, did you make out your income tax?
I am Einstein, maybe.
What did you do with your blank?
Well, I am going first to Moskowitz.
Oh, Moskowitz, the delicatessen man, hey?
He's the delicatessen. Moskowitz is also on the side, a notorious public.
A notary public,
uh-huh.
Hey?
Moskowitz is adding up my tax. He is getting $42. This, to me, is a seeming a little high.
So?
I'm going to Goldberg.
Well, who is Goldberg?
Goldberg is running a cigar store. As a hobby, he is taking numbers.
Only as a hobby,
yes.
Huh? Good.
If Goldberg is taking numbers is in Texas, he can total.
Oh, he can total.
Uh-huh. Huh?
Well, what was his estimate?
Goldberg is getting $800.
$800, and Moskowitz got $42?
This is mixing me up altogether. I am going to a fortune teller, a gypsy.
Uh-huh.
The gypsy is filling my tea bag, also asking a few questions.
And?
The gypsy is getting $18.
Well, that's three different totals.
That is making me disgusted. I'm saying to myself, I will make enough my non-income tax.
You went to work?
I am up all night with two pencils and a bottle of Celeritonic.
You can get a return with the Celeritonic on the bottle. Well, how did you... Tell me, you figured out your own tax. How did you come out with your figure?
Well, Moskowitz is getting 42.
Yes.
Goldberg is getting 800.
Yes.
The gypsy is getting 18.
And when you figured out your own income tax, what did you get?
30 days. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to the little break front shack at the end of the alley. Now, what can possibly happen here?
Let the trumpets blow, don't be aloof. Falstaff's here to raise the roof.
Bard Openshaw, are those more poems peeping out of your cement bag, Inverness?
What else? Have you heard, my girl has a glass eye, I'm nearly nutty. When my girl cries, her tears are putty.
No.
Or, said the lighted cigarette to the tray on the shelf, I'm afraid I'm making an ash of myself.
No, I haven't heard that.
Or, don't worry, Judge, if Mother looks pale. She's been drinking buttermilk through her veil.
Now, wait a minute. Falstaff, you will be the death of me if natural causes don't beat you to it. Tonight, we are examining the new income tax blank.
Precisely why I am not elsewhere.
You have written a tax form. What is it called?
A Fig for the Collector of Internal Revenue.
Well, how does it go?
A Fig for the Collector of Internal Revenue. I'll tell you, sir, what you can do. Your new tax return, sir, you can take with your clauses and instructions and jump in the lake. I refuse to be concerned about Schedule B, losses from fire or other casualty, fiduciary income, charity donations, medical expenses, dependents, if relations, victory tax, surtax, withholding tax too, unpaid balance, notes, and monies due. Item 10, totals, turn to page 3. None of this huss and pepper means anything to me. So a Fig for the Collector of Internal Revenue. I've intimated, sir, what you can do. You can examine me, grill me, and sue me, chum. I didn't earn a cent last year. I'm just a happy bum.
Thank you, Falstaff. And as Falstaff gathers up his tatters and flaps into oblivion, Maestro Al Goodman sets aside his police gazette and nods to Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. Their song, No Love, No Nothing.
No love, no nothing, until my baby comes home. No, sir, no nothing, as long as baby must roam. I promised him I'd wait for him till even Hades grows. I'm lonesome, heaven knows, but what I said still goes. No love, no nothing, and that's the promise I'll keep. No fun with no one, I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike, and though it's like an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home. No love, no nothing, not until my baby comes home. No playing around, no doing the town now. No love, no nothing, that's the promise I'll keep.
Hello, Jack and the Dame. That was swell. And now as we...
Oh, McDonald had a car, T-E-X-A-C-O. Thought it wouldn't go very far, T-E-X-A-C-O.
Jimmy, what is this singing?
Oh, it's the aria from last Sunday.
Well, I know, but you're one of the best tunes of all I would care to... Your Marfac aria isn't one of the best tunes of all I would care to read last Sunday. It's worn out now.
Worn out. That's the point of my song.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, old McDonald had a car he thought was a bus. He found it was good for many, many more. Texaco Care. The song goes, old McDonald
Please, don't sing, please.
Oh, get the message.
What message?
With regular Texaco Marfac lubrication, regular changes of Texaco's, and regular attention by your Texaco's, that life begins at 40,000. My song tells the whole song.
All right, Jimmy, go ahead and sing. That was I Love You, Bronx Bobcat. And now, the boys could do if the instruments were packed. But when you're looking over your shoulder, I much concentrate. And now, Portland, is that a program?
Mother and I went to hear the new New York City Symphony.
Oh, say, I read that the New York City now has its own orchestra. I hear Brooklyn is terribly jealous about it. You know, Brooklyn is organizing an orchestra, the Flatbush Philharmonic. They'll probably be called them Beethoven bums before they get through.
Why did Mayor LaGuardia start the new symphony orchestra?
Well, the mayor wants to have one city project where he can be sure there'll be a little harmony, Portland. I guess I'll start working on my...
Do you have another crime show?
Admit this show is a crime. It's a gang story about Blacksmith gang story of mine on the air.
It... Gangbusters bias?
Well, I saw the man and they're Colonel Schwartney. So I'm going to...
Can thing. You find any gangster?
Always plays those gangster parts in pickle. I knocked on the door.
Yes?
George Rath. Well... Mr. Raft, I,
If you're the reporter from the Times, my latest Universal picture, produced by Charles K. Feldman, directed by Eddie Sutherland, and soon to be seen at your neighborhood theater, is Follow the Boys.
Now, wait, please, Mr. Raft, I'm not a reporter, I'm Fred Allen.
Allen? Oh, I've seen your face someplace. Was it on a bottle of iodine?
No, it wasn't.
Well, was it under a table at the Stork Club?
No.
Well, were you that singing waiter at the Mayflower Donut Shop?
No, wait a minute. I'm Fred Allen. Don't you ever listen to the radio?
Oh, I only listen to one guy on the radio.
One guy who?
The Smiling Irishman. Well, that guy's a riot.
Yes, I know. Well, look, Mr. Raft, I have a radio script for you. It's a gangster story.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred, but I'm through with gangster parts. Gangsters are passe.
You mean that Humphrey Bogart?
Bogart used to have a Tommy gun in his lap 24 hours a day, but no more.
What does Bogart have in his lap today?
Ingrid Bergman.
Is that bad? Well, how about Edward G. Robinson? Well,
Robinson's clothes used to be lumpy from carrying gats.
And today?
Robinson's clothes are still lumpy.
Well, from what?
Carrying yo-yos.
Oh, I see. The whole... Well, what about Cagney? In every picture, he used to kill squealers.
Oh, today there aren't any squealers left in the underworld.
Well, where are they?
Well, the squealers are all at the Sinatra broadcast.
But, George, you know, you still look like a gangster. Your hair.
Well, what's wrong with my hair? The girls think it's romantic.
Romantic, George? It's the fat shortage. When a girl runs her fingers through your hair today, she's just trying to pick up a little grease.
This isn't grease on my hair, Fred. It's a special preparation.
Something special? No kidding. What is the preparation?
You promise you won't tell? Hope to die?
Hope the cat will spit in my eye, George. What is it you put on your hair?
Perfume and chicken fat.
Fine. You know, you look like Flat Top's brother, Grease Top. But, George, you are not the romantic type. You'll be a sensation in my radio play. Why, you and I will make Gangbusters sound like life can be beautiful.
Look, Fred, why don't you get an old door with rusty hinges and call yourself in a sanctum?
Oh, fine. Please, that guy got another line in here. All through the thing, this Hope writer got in here and wrote things. Please, George, before you know, I have to stay in one place week after week. Benny and Hope move around. I have to have better jokes. I will be here next Sunday. So please, George, before you give me a definite maybe, let me tell you my story.
Okay. It looks though I'm stuck. How does it go?
Well, first, my program starts with a fanfare.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Mob Boss.
Mob Busters is brought to you each week at this time by the makers of Pepto-Burp. The effervescent tablet with a new built-in feature. Other tablets, when dropped in water, fizz, bubble, and sizzle. But not Pepto-Burp. Drop a Pepto-Burp in water and wash it. There's no fizzle, no sizzle. It just lays there. Absolutely no other effervescent tablet can make this statement. Try a Pepto-Burp today. You'll be sorry.
And now for tonight's thrilling Mob Buster story. And here is your host, that eminent criminologist, Colonel J.J. Schmilling.
Good evening, friends of Peptoburp and murder lovers. Tonight we bring you one of the most ghastly episodes in the annals of crime, the Black Market Murders. And here is the man who broke the case, Police Inspector Timothy McAllen.
Hi-ish, folks, and hello to the boys in Precinct 2.
Inspector, how did you solve the Black Market Murders?
Well, Colonel Schmilek, my story starts on the morning of December 3rd. Me boys and me were sitting around a station house. One of the boys had just got his induction notice. We was watching him puncture his eardrum. He was using a salad fork.
A salad fork?
He had a cauliflower ear. Well, he starts working on his third ear when suddenly a police call comes in.
Attention, Inspector McAllen. A farmer has just been murdered in a barn in Westchester. Inspector McAllen, report at once. Inspector McAllen.
McAllen, what are the initials?
L.S.M.F.T.
That's me. It's me, then. Let's go.
Yeah, Inspector. What happened? What happened when you got to that barn in Westchester?
Well, there, laying on the floor of the barn, was a farmer, Colonel. He was deader than the first 10 minutes of a Jack Benny program. Not only he was dead, his cow was gone.
Yes?
In 4 days, 236 farmers was found dead. Their cows was gone.
Who did you suspect, Suspector?
Well, a big Suspector. A big butter-legging ring was cow-napping the cows to make butter. And the mastermind of the Black Market gang was...
Who, Inspector?
Pepe LaRaft.
Pepe LaRaft?
Pepe LaRaft.
What did you do, Inspector?
Well, I knew the gang would start strong-arming delicatessens with their Black Market butter. So one morning, I hides myself in the icebox at Hershkowitz's Delicatessen on the east side. A big black limousine pulls up. Pepe LaRaft and two of his gorillas come into the delicatessen. Pepe says...
Hershkowitz, you and me got a little difference of opinion.
No, Pepe, please.
Shut up. Take that.
Stay off, boys. This is my pigeon.
Okay, Pepe.
Hershkowitz, my boys tell me you suddenly don't want to buy no butter.
Pepe, I can't buy black market butter. It's against the law.
You know what happened to Garfinkel when he didn't want any butter?
No! No, you wouldn't do that for me.
Yes. We untied the ends of his balonies.
Hey, boss.
Yes?
Should I start untying his baloney now?
I'll give him one more chance. Hershkowitz, how many pounds of butter do you sell a day?
5 pounds.
Starting tomorrow, you're buying 200 pounds a day.
200 pounds?
That's $2 a pound.
I'm ruined, cow police.
Quiet, punk. Take that.
Oh!
Hey, boss, look, the icebox door, it's opening.
Reach for your rods, man.
It's too late, you rat.
It's Inspector McAllen.
Drop them guns. I got you covered, LaRaft. Take that and that and that. Oh, shucks.
What's wrong, Inspector?
I've been in the icebox too long. Look. Me trigger finger is frozen. I can't shoot.
We got him, men. Well, let her have it.
Yeah, Inspector. With all those guns blazing point blank at you, you must have been riddled.
No, the shots just bounced off me, Colonel. I was in the icebox so long, I was bird's-eyed. I was as hard as the $64 question.
Did LaRaft and his gang flood the city with black market butter?
Well, no, Colonel Schmilek. The gang never showed up with no butter. I knew Pepe had the cows. I knew something was wrong.
And what was your next move?
Well, a stool pigeon tipped me off. There was a lot of mooing coming from a deserted warehouse over on Avenue B.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you went down there and quietly keeping undercover.
Bud.
Yes.
Were
yes.
you there?
No.
Then let me tell the story. Do you mind?
Right ahead, Inspector.
Well, I went down to the warehouse. It was packed with cows. Looking in a window, I seen Pepe LaRaft. He's got the mob on the carpet. LaRaft is saying...
Now, listen, you mugs. We got 200 hot cows. How come we ain't getting no butter?
Butter comes from milk, Pepe. I heard it on a quiz program.
So what?
Well, nobody in the gang knows how to get the milk out of the cows, Pepe.
Yeah, I had them cows sitting on bottles. Nothing comes out.
I threatened to take one cow for a ride. She wouldn't come across.
Maybe the cows are organized. Maybe they want a cut of the butter tape. Who's the head of this cow mob?
A cow named Elsie.
Well, get Elsie in here. Maybe I can make a deal.
Okay, boss. Come in, Elsie.
Come over here, Elsie.
Hey, watch yourself, boss. She might be packing a rod.
Cow packing a rod?
Look under there. She's packing something.
Quiet. Now, listen, Elsie.
Moo.
Come on, come clean, sister. We know you got the milk on you. Where is it? How do we get it? Point to the gimmick.
Moo.
Come on, play ball, baby.
Peppy can put you on Easy Street. I know him in stall. I'll put caviar in your cud.
What do you say? Why, you dirty double-crossing Jersey? Out of the milk or I'll jet you. Sister, come clean or I'll cut you up and tear you into little pieces and sell you to Lynn.
Shaking all over, boy. She's starting to sling something around. It's butter.
Look out. It's flying. It's flying.
Right in me, kisser. Hey, it's delicious.
We're all set, boys. We don't need the milk. All we got to do is start stirring in the cows. We got to get butter. Well, what was that?
The jig is up, Laraff.
Inspector McAllen.
Reach for the spatter, you rat.
Okay, McAllen, you got it.
Gag. Oh, gag. I'm covered with butter. Look at me. You're under arrest, Laraff.
Okay, cop, if you want me, we're going to shoot it out.
You asked for it, Peppy. Take that and oh, jeepers, with this butter. Me fingers keep slipping off the trigger. Look at me.
Buy me my blackjack.
Here, boss.
Hold that blackjack, Laraff. Oh.
Ha, ha, copper. That's the last time you try to double-cross Peppy Laraff. Let's go, boys.
Okay, let's go. Gosh, Inspector, what happened then?
Well, the raft and the 200 cows made a clean getaway, Colonel. He started selling his black market butter all over the state. He made millions. From butter, he went into nylon stockings, liquor. He was the king of the black market.
But how did you finally break it?
Before I could break the raft, somebody beat me to it.
What happened?
Well, yesterday, I'm walking along the Bowery. I'm trailing a kleptomaniac from the Navy Yard. He sneaked out with 300 anchors. He's got them under a raincoat. Suddenly, I feel a tap on my bag. I turn around. It's a tramp. The tramp is Peppy Laraff.
Peppy Laraff?
Peppy Laraff.
The king of the black market was a bum. What happened?
I brought Peppy with me tonight to the studio, Colonel, to tell his story. Step up to the microphone, Peppy.
Yes, Inspector.
How much money did you make in the black market?
I made $18 million in butter.
Yeah?
I made $10 million in nylon.
Yeah?
I made $22 million in black market liquor.
$50 million?
Yes, sir. Up to yesterday, I had $50 million all in silver. I had it on me. I couldn't walk. I had four guys carrying me.
Yesterday, you had $50 million, and today, you're a bum. What happened?
Tell them where your money went, Peppy.
I was a victim of the biggest hijack in history.
You mean...
They got me for my income tax.
Well, there's your story, Colonel Schmillick.
And Inspector McAllen, the moral is...
Crime still pays, but not like it used to. Before we close the Mexico Star Theater, I want to thank George Raff for dropping by tonight. Next week, our guest will be the star attraction at Broadway's famous Hurricane Nightclub. Is everybody happy? Ted Lewis. And now, Jimmy Wallington with a message from Uncle Sam for every woman. Jimmy?
More and more women are needed in war jobs and in the women's branches of our armed forces. America at war needs women at work, and it's a patriotic duty to get into the war with your hands as well as your heart. Our fighting men need every piece of equipment you can help produce. You'll earn good money and help speed the return of our American soldiers by getting a war-useful job at once. Training and experience are not necessary. Inquire at your local office of the United States Employment Service and let your hands help win the war.
This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, inviting you to tune in again next Sunday night and reminding you that the most we can give is the least we can do for our Red Cross this year. Thank you and good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Sleuths Incorporated meet Ghosts Incorporated when Nick and Nora Charles haunt a haunted house...